Hello and welcome to Sri Lanka 99.94 Cricket Every Day. My name is Mark Machado from the Mirror End, and I'm joined, as always, by Estelle Vazadevan from the Papere. Sri Lanka 99.94 is your new home for Sri Lankan content, and we'll be dropping into your podcast feed on YouTube or the 99.94 app several times every week. So do please rate, review and subscribe. Thanks for joining Cricket's Conversation. Estelle, this is our second part of our... It's not the review of the year, because we're doing that later on. You'll get that later. But we're looking today at Sri Lanka's top three bowling performances of the year. I want to say bowling spells, but that's not quite right. We will do our top three, but before that, we'll do our two... Well, maybe more than two honourable mentions. Estelle, I will let you start with your honourable mentions.
Yeah, it's good you clarify that it's not spells, because I don't have spells in here. Not the test ones, anyway. So I've got three honourable mentions again. One, Chamika Karunaratne, 3 for 47 versus Australia. It was the second ODI, I think. And Sri Lanka defended 220 in that game in Palakkale. I just think that was kind of just a super performance by him, because everyone was questioning why he was in the side and, you know, what he was doing. But it was a really impactful performance. I think he got some runs in that game as well. Off the 3 for 47, I think he picked up Maxwell and Steve Smith. So pretty big wickets. Maxwell came at a point where Sri Lanka looked like, you know, it was curtains for them. So that is one of my honourable mentions. The other one, Vanidu Hasaranga's 3 for 27 versus Pakistan in the Asia Cup final. He picked up the big wicket of Mohammad Rizwan. I don't know if you can say he was at his best, like he was bowling his best, but he got wickets at really crucial junctures in that game and allowed Sri Lanka to defend that total, which, like we mentioned in our episode, with the batting performances, if you won the toss, you were chasing, and if you were chasing, you were winning. So those three wickets were really crucial to Sri Lanka's win. And also, I want to give a shout out again to one of the women's players, Inoka Ranavira, who's had a really good year, I think, overall. In terms of performances, I'm going to put her 2 for 17 against Pakistan in the honourable mentions. Asia Cup semi-final, Sri Lanka were not expected to go beyond the semi-final in that tournament. I mean, if you think the men's team were underdogs, the women's team, that was... I mean, I don't think there was anybody believing they would go past Pakistan in that semi. But again, it was a very economical performance from her. She seems to, you know, despite being in her mid-30s, has continued to kind of lead that bowling attack. So she's my third honourable mention.
My two honourable mentions, I think, are a little bit more controversial. My first one is quite controversial because there wasn't any wickets in it, but boy, this was one heck of a spell. It was Lauru Kumara's he got no wickets, but he went for 33 runs against Australia in Perth. Why have I picked this? Because... oh my gosh.
Because he hit Maxwell,
no? I'm not endorsing violently attacking Australian players. I just thought that was a beautiful spell of cricket. He's had a tough year with injuries, and it was quite obvious that he just was in no sort of rhythm going into that tournament, and he was really struggling with form and fitness. That pitch was just absolutely made for him. It's if you don't believe that Australian cricket is in some way got a pact with the devil, then that game might have made you believe it, because he did everything but get a wicket on that pitch. And I think he was struggling with injuries. You know, he was in pain by the end of it, but he I think he actually ended up conceding the losing runs, as it were, to Stoinis at the end. But early on in that spell was just beautiful, wasn't it? I think, were you there, Estelle? You were at the grounds, right?
Yeah, I was in the press box while it happened. You're right, and I love that pick, actually. I didn't think of that he was just incredible. Wasn't picked for the opening games, which everyone was questioning, including myself. Like, why? When you have a guy who can bowl at that speed, at that pace, and who can genuinely like intimidate batters, right? Why isn't he in your playing 11? And when he did get the opportunity because of injuries, I think he was one of Sri Lanka's biggest positives in that tournament as a whole. Just the way he bowled with control, and I dare say he's looked good in the LPL as well so far. So maybe that's the turning point. I don't know, but yeah, that spell was incredible.
Yeah, I just wanted to get hope. You know, my hopes and dreams for his 2023 is that he just gets a bit of a clear run of fitness and can build a bit of consistency. Because I just think he's frightening when he's in that kind of form that we saw in Perth. My second pick is I've picked Hasaranga's 2 for 23 against England. I looked at this game because I remember this game and thinking, do you know what? We bowled really well, and it was one of those really difficult days for the Sri Lankan bowling unit because we batted first. And nothing was working out with our bowling. It was the back end of that tournament. We were down to like our 7th or 8th pick for, I think Andrew Fidel Fernando and Rex Clementine were probably doing net bowling at that point for
Andrew
the team.
Wasn't there.
Was he not there? Or he would have been. Maybe like, I heard that you were throwing down some of your famous leggies. Estelle, we were really like, actually, when you look back at on the World Cup in our review of the year, but it wasn't a very happy time for that squad, and they were struggling with bowlers, and I just thought the team did really well, and even and that was probably that was the standout figures in Sri Lanka's bowling, even though they ended up losing the game. I just kind of wanted to give it a mention because I remember coming away from that, and I really felt bad for the bowlers. And we discussed how, because the game plans were constantly being ripped up, they were having to bowl all over the place, and Hasaranga wasn't... In fact, I think he's actually the only one that ends up bowling to his strengths all the way through. Tikshana was basically bowled, probably, if you go back and look at it, bowled all 20... At some point, bowled all 20 overs. During that tournament. So those were my two honourable mentions. Shall we take a quick break and then get into our top threes?
Hi, I'm Nikesh Raghani, commentator and host of the India on 99.94 podcast. Several times each week, my co-host Sara Waris and I will be bringing you the very best in Indian cricket chat, whether we're discussing the legend of Julan Goswami, KL Rahul's strike rate, the men's T20 death bowling woes, or the latest controversy involving the BCCI, we've got you covered. You can listen and subscribe via your usual podcast provider. Just search for India on 99.94. You can watch us via YouTube, and you can download the 99.94 app. If you love Indian cricket, then join our conversation.
So Estelle, we're into our top three. Who were your number three and number two picks for bowling performances of the year?
Okay, so like your controversial, honourable mentions, I think, I'm not sure how many would have picked this in their top three, but Dilshan Majushankar's 3 for 24 versus India. I just still can't get over that dismissal of Virat Kohli. It's in my head, right? I can see it in my mind if I close my eyes. So that performance, I think for a youngster coming into that tournament, coming up against a batting lineup like what India possesses. And we shouldn't underestimate what kind of effect that can have on a young bowler, right? Coming up against some of the best batters in the world, it's a pressure situation. Sri Lanka can't afford another loss. And to bowl the way he did and just put them under so much pressure, I thought was pretty incredible. And it was kind of like a... For him personally, I feel like it's probably one match that really got him noticed in terms of, franchise leagues and stuff, because there's no better team to perform against, right? You do well against India and all eyes are on you. So it could have gone either way, That's what I felt before the game. I thought either this game's going to make him or completely break him. And he just ended up with a super performance, 3 for 24. Just fantastic. So that's my number three.
So that's my number three as well.
Oh, wow.
Right. again, for all the reasons you said, I think it's he gets picked slightly out of left field. We've done a whole episode of him. Right, and we know he didn't come up a traditional path in Sri Lankan cricket. If you wanted to find out more, go back and listen to that episode. I don't think he played any youth cricket for Sri Lanka as well, or development cricket.
He did play
under 19s. Oh, did he?
Yeah.
But more or less, he gets kind of just picked out from obscurity essentially and thrown straight into it. And I think it was his third game. He gets that key wicket of Virat Kohli. Was it fourth game? I thought that was a sensational spell, and it's in him announcing himself to the world. And as you say, rightly so, if he again, he's another player, if he can find some fitness, it's going to go and make a lot of money in franchise cricket, and it's well deserved, I think. What's your number two pick, Estelle?
Okay, so my number two pick, again, I'm expecting this to be your number one. Prabhat Jayasurya's 12 wicket haul against Australia. I just felt, you know, coming into that series, Sri Lanka lost the first game, were actually like demolished in the first game. And Jayasurya's, I think, more than the first innings, the second innings, I think Australia were bowled out pretty much in like two sessions. Everyone there at the game was expecting the game to go into the fourth or the fifth day. And suddenly, we're packing our bags because the game's done. He's completely run through the batting order. I should also say, he got a 10-wicket haul against Pakistan, 10 and an 8-wicket haul against Pakistan. So, in his first three games, right? So, incredible. And I remember, I think, one of the more amusing things that coming out of that was somebody saying that no matter what era you're in, Jayasurya is going to screw with Australia. And yeah, so that is my number two pick.
Okay, so that I will exclusively reveal before the break, that was my number one pick. I'll go into a bit more detail about it after we have the break, after I've told you my number two. So my number two was Pramod Mardashan's 4 for 34 in the final, which I suspect might be your number one pick. That final, when Sri Lanka started to bowl, was started about as badly as it possibly could for Dilshan Madushankar. But we managed to pick it all up. He got that prize wicket of Babar Azam as well. And then he got a wicket the very next ball. It's that little spell that within that his figures that really got Sri Lanka into the game and put all the momentum on Sri Lanka's side and caused Sri Lanka to win it. I think that, you know, winning the Asian Cup was the best part of the year for Sri Lanka, if you look at it, you know, across a bird's eye view on the whole thing. Though, let's take a quick break and let's discuss our number ones and why we put them there.
I'm Jared Kimber, and I host two podcasts on 99.94. Red Inca, which is chats on trends and stories within the game, with a weekly Q&A where I can be asked about anything from a time-travelling Don Bradman to which cricket ground serves the best food. And Double Century, a look at the historical stories that make cricket what it is today. You can search for either of them in your favourite podcast platform or on the 99.94 DM app.
So, Estelle, I've revealed already that my number one bowling performance of the year was Prabhat Jayasurya on debut against Australia. What was your number one pick?
Surprise, it's not Pramod Mardashan. It is not Pramod Mardashan. Although I will say, yeah, that was a phenomenal performance, particularly again, new guy coming in, right? They haven't played situations like that. They haven't played big games like that in front of crowds like that. So that was a really good performance by him. But my pick is actually a bit left field, I think. Asita Fernando's 10-wicket haul against Bangladesh in Mirpur. The reason I picked it is because, again, it was injuries and, you know, Sri Lanka drew the first game and the bowlers looked so flat, particularly the spin bowlers. And again, this is Bangladesh, right? This is Mirpur. your spinners are going to take 20 wickets for you if you're going to win the game. But you know, lo and behold, Rajitha and Asita Fernando are the top performers for Sri Lanka. I thought that's what made that performance special because nobody was expecting that kind of performance from him. I will say I thought that Rajitha bowled better than him in some periods of that game, particularly in the first innings where he picked up 5 wickets. But just to close out that game against Bangladesh, where it looked like the pitchers would be completely in the favor of either the batters or the spin bowlers, to get a 10-wicket haul in those conditions, not having regular test matches, playing in difficult conditions for fast bowlers, coming back from injuries, all that together, I thought, made that a really special performance by Asita.
Yeah, actually, that probably is definitely in the top five, definitely, for Sri Lankan bowling performances for this year. I picked Pramath Jayasuriya's 12 wickets against Australia. I think the context around it for me gave it more prominence. The fact that he's been somebody who has been doing it in Sri Lankan domestic cricket for a very long time. He made his debut at, 31. There was quite a lot of calls for a number of years there to get him into the side, and it never happened. They gave him the opportunity. He seized it with both hands. It's the... I think that would have given hope to a lot of players on the island who have been in and around the international setup, but not quite made it for whatever reason. And also the fact he did it against Australia. Everything you already said stands. Doing it against Australia, you know, grabbing the opportunity. The fact he did comes back and against Pakistan and takes even more wickets later on in the year. I think it's... I'm in two minds. Did the SLC put him in just at the right moment when he's at the peak of his powers, or has he been robbed of maybe 100 or so test wickets that he could have got previous to this? That's a debate for people to have in the bars and coffee shops of Sri Lanka from now till the end of time, right? But I really hope that we see a lot more of him in the coming years. Obviously, this would mean that we play longer form cricket because I don't think he's got an LPL contract, unless I missed that. So it doesn't look like he's going to make a breakthrough in any of the shorter forms anytime soon. But yeah, that was the reason why I picked him. I picked that particular performance as the number one.
Yeah, and not to forget, right, during that test, the protests were going on outside the grounds. There was so much, I think, to be distracted in that game, because even covering the game, I don't know if any of us Sri Lankan journalists there, or even some of the visiting Australians, really had 100% of their focus on what was going on in the middle, because there was so much going on around. For those who don't know, at that point, there were massive protests around the country, and particularly in the city of Galle, where the match was being played, and surrounding the grounds about the crisis going on in Sri Lanka. So it couldn't have been easy for players to be focusing on the game and to kind of, and as you said, right, he's coming in, there's probably a million things on his mind, debuting at 31. Is it too late for me? How much test cricket is Sri Lanka going to play? How much test cricket am I going to get? Do I want to break into limited overs cricket? So many things that would have been on his mind when he did get the call up. And remember, Lasith Ambuldeniya has been Sri Lanka's go-to left-arm spinner for at least the last 5 years, right? So you're kind of usurping him, getting into that spot, you know, with the amount of test cricket that Sri Lanka play, this could be your only opportunity. You might get just one game and then, you know, get shown the door. So a lot of things going on probably in his mind. So that's, I think, what makes it such a great performance. Not to mention the fact that, you know, Sri Lanka 1-0 down in that series. Unfortunately, not a 3-match series this time around. I think Australia got a bit, you know, nervous after they lost 3-0 last time.
Yeah.
So, you know, and of course, those points are really valuable in terms of the ICC Test Championship as well, right? So a lot going on there. He just showed his experience, didn't he? He showed that he's been bowling on those kinds of tracks his entire, like, for the last decade or 15 years. So, yeah, phenomenal performance. I think you picked a good one for number one, but I still liked Asita Fernando's one better.
You're putting serious doubt in my mind for whether I picked the, you know, I didn't even pick Asita Fernando, wasn't even my top five. I want to know, if you're listening to this on in podcast form, in audio form, or if you're watching this on YouTube, who got it right? Can you leave us your comments? Tell us what you think. Is there any innings? Sorry, is there any bowling performances this year, this calendar year, that we have missed that need, that should have been mentioned? We want to know. Please leave your comments. Shall we leave it there, Estelle?
Yep.
I need and we've got a review of the year to come as well. So please don't forget to listen to that and tell all your friends.
Thank you for listening to Sri Lanka on 99.94, where we speak cricket every day. Please rate, review and subscribe wherever you enjoy your podcast and tell all your friends and family about us. You can download the 99.94 app and follow us on Twitter. I'm at Mark Machado and Estelle is at Estelle_Vazudev1, as in the number one. Never miss out. Join our 24/7 conversation on social media and follow us at 9994DM. Cricket every day, your way.
Have you ever wanted to know how to win a Formula One Grand Prix? I mean, really know. Know about the driver tactics from the cockpit, the strategy calls from the pit wall, and even the mind games in the paddock. There's a lot more that goes into winning a Grand Prix than just 90 minutes of racing. So every week on the F1 Strategy Report, we're taking a deep dive into the decisions that shape every result. Hey there, my name is Michael Laminato, and every week I'm joined by an expert guest from the paddock to talk through the big calls that won the race and the missteps that resulted in bitter defeat. Before every race, we'll look back at the previous year's result and consult the current form guide, and we'll be in your feed after every Grand Prix dissecting the outcome and what it means for the championship. So for your regular hit of Formula One analysis, subscribe to the F1 Strategy Report wherever you get your favourite podcasts. The Strategy Report is a Beer Mogul podcast on the Evergreen Podcasts Network. My name's Michael Laminato, and I'll catch you after the checkered flag.